we remember this. We have the memorial every Sunday to remember. And so it's easy to say, well, those people out there that just show up on Easter Sunday, well, you know, what are they doing? And that's not what God wants, and I acknowledge that. But I want to say that any time people are caused to come to think about God, to think about what Jesus did for us, is a good thing. More to it than that, much more. And yet, that is something that is there, hopefully, to have an effect on them. Not just today, but later on as well. And as Mark has already read for us there in chapter 13, this is specifically at verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. And we're thankful for that. And as we talk about the resurrection, you know, this is one of those things that throughout the ages has been attacked, as have all the other miracles. But I want us to just notice quickly that the resurrection of Jesus, that he was raised from the dead, is logical. It does make sense. And just several points in particular. That it proved that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And, you know, I think this is something we don't really have the full understanding of that they would in that time. If you were looking for someone to do something in your house, maybe if you needed someone to care for you as you were because of your health or so on, and they said, well, she's a really nice lady, or man, as the case may be, but he served 25 years in jail for murder of his mother. Or she, you know, some similar thing. What would you think? What? No, there's no way I'm letting this person in my house. But they've changed. Yeah. No. But when the apostles, as they always did, when they came up to the conclusion of their sermon, this Jesus who was crucified, I mean, they never forget that. And you know, I think if that was me or us today, we probably wouldn't want to talk about that too much. Especially we wouldn't want people to think that the Jews, you know. But, I mean, that was just like a big, big billboard. Criminal, criminal, criminal. Who is this person? He was crucified. He claimed to be the Christ. But obviously he wasn't, because he was crucified. He was guilty because he was an imposter, and he deserved death. And that might have been what people were thinking. But then what was the thing that followed? But God raised him from the dead. Was he the Christ, the Son of God? Oh yes, there is no question. And you may not understand why he was crucified. You may not understand all the things that he went through and suffered. But he was indeed the Son of God. How do we know? Because he was raised from the dead. And I think certainly this was also there too, and it's recorded so that the apostles would remember that the things that he had said about this. And let's look in the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew, starting in Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew 17, Jesus warns, tells the apostles, verse 22, now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And the third day he will be raised up. and they were exceedingly sorrowful. But they didn't get it. In chapter 20, at verse 17. Now Jesus going up to Jerusalem. This is going to Jerusalem the last time. He's going to be crucified shortly. Took the 12 apostles aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again." In chapter 26, the night of, the 2 days before. Verse 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." So he told them, and he reminded, and these are reminders of it. But I think also, again, something that we don't necessarily think of is, what are the wages of sin? Death, right? No question there. Did Jesus deserve to die? And we know this is not just physical death. But what sin had he committed? He hadn't. And so it's interesting, and when you go back to Acts, and we're just going to look at the sermon very briefly of just a little portion in Acts chapter 22, verse 22. Acts 2, verse 22. Peter here is, in his sermon, makes the point. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." He did not deserve to die, and God loosed him from the pains of death. And so we understand that these things had to be done. That's the logical conclusion. But lastly, we understand that this was proof that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And so we see that in Colossians chapter 2, which pointed out that this was what had to be done. This is where he defeated the devil. And we know that the devil was behind it all, and yet this was the plan of God, and yet it is there. In verse 13, "And you," speaking to the Christians, "you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he," God, "has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to it. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the law, to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." When he died, when he was nailed to the cross, he made a spectacle of them, of the powers of the devil. He died, but when he was raised, he showed the world their power is no longer what it was. In Hebrews chapter 2, there, verse 14 and 15. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." How did he destroy that power? by the fact that he died. But then he goes on to say, and to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When he died, it seemed that the devil won. But when he was raised from the dead, it became obvious that the devil's power, the power of death, no longer existed. Does the devil have power? Oh, he does. But does the devil have power to condemn? No, he doesn't. Is the power of death what it once was? No, it is not. And I want you to turn with me now to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, there at verse 8. And John says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, because of this, because he's a sinner, because he is the one who's in charge of this world, he says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested when he was raised from the dead, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's what it was all about, was to save us and to show clearly through his resurrection that the power of the devil was gone, that God is indeed the ruler in all things. And so when we think about the resurrection and why the resurrection, certainly I think it was logical. And I think that the resurrection is, is one of those that, how many miracles did Jesus do? John says, if they were written in books, the world could not contain them. Did he heal the blind? Yes. Did he give speech to the lame? The deaf heard, the lame, etc., etc. All these miracles. But the resurrection was the one that topped them all, if you will. Of all the signs that were done, this is the one that I think could not be faked, if you will. We see people, faith healers today, so-called, and they have their little tricks, they have their little things to get people, to help, to make you think that they really healed someone. But which one has raised someone from the dead? None. Because that can't be faked. That is a miracle from God. And I want us to go to the Gospel of John now, to chapter 11. After Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead, and you remember that his sister says, Jesus says, roll back the stone, and she said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks. Please, don't do that. But Jesus raised him from the dead. In verse 45, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. Had they not heard of Jesus before? No question. They had. But when they saw him raise someone from the dead that they knew was dead, they believed. And if you continue reading, it says, but some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council. What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe on him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. What is their conclusion? What are we going to do? We can't deny that Lazarus died. People would laugh at us. We would be the ones rejected. And so they understood that this was something that came only from God. In Mark chapter 5, again, this is, to put it into context, a ruler of the synagogue had gone to Jesus saying, "You've got to come to my house and heal my daughter. She's at the point of death." As they're coming, they're getting close. Messengers meet him and they say, "Don't trouble him anymore. She died. There's nothing that can be done." Did they have doubts that she had died? No, they knew she was dead. They didn't say, "We think she's dead, but yeah, so let the master come, but you know, don't be in a hurry." And so in verse 39, it says, "When he came in, he said to them," those who were outside mourning and weeping, and says, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And their response, and they ridiculed it. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was laying. Was she dead? Yes. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumai," which is translated, "little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with amazement. They knew she was dead. They knew that he had raised her from the dead. And so when we think that Jesus, remember that Jesus was raised from the dead, we know that was something that could not be done with tricks. And I think the fact that makes it, at least to me, even more telling is it wasn't Jesus who was healing. It wasn't Jesus who was raising himself. This was, he was dead. He was raised from the dead. Who raised him from the dead? Only God. In Mark 16 and verse 1, beginning at verse 1, and we're just going to read to verse 8. It says, "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, and that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week." Did you get that? After the Sabbath was passed, very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, all four of the Gospels are very clear that he was raised on the first day of the week. "They came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you.' So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Jesus was raised from the dead. Could a dead man raise himself from the dead? No. That was something that only God could do. And it's interesting, going now to Acts 13, and you're probably wondering when I was going to get there. But we're there. In Acts chapter 13, Mark read for us already. So we're just going to notice a few verses here. In verse 30, "But God raised him from the dead." Verse 34, "And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus." Verse 37, "But he whom God raised up saw no corruption." Who and how was Jesus raised from the dead? God raised him from the dead. And that is what we have to remember, and that is what the apostles in all of the sermons that we have recorded made reference to, the fact that God had raised him from the dead. Even to the pagans, the philosophers in Athens, that was what caused them to say, "Wait a minute, okay, we're not listening anymore." He was having raised him from the dead. God in past times allowed all men to do what they wanted to do, but now commands all men to repent. Why? Because he has raised him from the dead. Was Jesus raised from the dead? No question. And this is something that the Jewish high priest tried to cover up. They bought the soldiers off so that they would say, well, we shouldn't have been, but we were asleep, and the disciples came and rolled the stone away and stole his body. And critics from that time till now have tried to say there really was no resurrection. And it always lands flat. The only people that will believe it is those who want to believe it, that are determined to reject God. Anyone who has any idea that God exists understands that Jesus was raised from the dead. And brothers and sisters, that's a wonderful thing, because his being raised is the assurance that we will be raised. If he was raised, we can be raised as well. And I want us to just look at a few scriptures here, because this, I think, is one of those things that it is hard sometimes to understand. It's maybe sometimes we're not quite sure. As our faith grows, it grows. But in the beginning, but notice what we're told here in chapter 6, verse 4 of Romans. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. Now, we understand that's spiritual. We'll walk in new life when we're raised from baptism. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And whether this is also geared to that, the spiritual, or not, the point is made here very clearly that we will be raised, we will share in his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, after Paul has dealt with arguments that yes, Jesus was raised, and if he wasn't, what are the consequences? But he says in verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, the first, and I think here it is emphasis primarily on the first one. Afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming. Will we be raised? Oh yes. As surely as Jesus was raised from the dead, we will be as well. And Paul continues in this chapter to talk about, there in verse 35, someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now we're going to skip down to verse 42, because that's the thought here. Paul's dealing with this. How is it? What are we going to look like? In verse 42 it says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. The body that we think of as our body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So he goes on to say, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, Adam, became a living, life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. There will be a difference. We will be raised in this body, but it's going to be changed. And verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What a blessing. What a great blessing. We are promised that we will be changed. This body, with all the infirmities, will be changed. This body, and in this sense, not just the physical, but the mind as well, this body that is so prone to sin will be changed. There will be no sin in heaven. And because of that, there will be no death. Because of that, there will be no sorrow. There will be no sickness of any kind. And that is the thing that we need to remember. Jesus died on our behalf, as we talked about in chapter 5 of Romans last Sunday night. We are reconciled to God by His death, but we're saved by His life. And that is the promise that we have. In 1 John chapter 3, John reminds us and indeed teaches us things that we may not have known without this. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. And, beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now just think about that. What are we going to look like? We don't know. It can't be described. But He says, but we will be like Him. Whatever Jesus looks like, whatever Jesus is, we'll be like that. And He closes, and we're going to close. He doesn't. But we're going to close with the next verse. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He